Blog Talk Radio. to find out if our speakers are on the line. Let me do that first while I'm talking on Facebook Live. Missionary Tony and Elder Ron, are you on the line?
Yes, we're here.
Yes, we're here.
Okay, well, I want you to hold on while I give instructions first. Okay, it has come to my attention that a lot of times people want to know why I don't mute my phone. I want to let people know that I am a co-host with you, Missionary Montgomery, and you, Elder Ron Montgomery. I'm asking everyone else to mute their phones so that we won't have a lot of feedback, because at the same time that they're speaking, I'm also letting it be heard on Facebook Live. So if you all would just please follow instructions and mute your phone while the speakers are speaking. Sometimes I give comments when they're speaking because I am one of the co-hosts, so that's why I never mute my line. So with that being said, I want to introduce the some, present to others, but tell everybody about Missionary Tony Montgomery, which is a first cousin of mine, who has always showed me nothing but love throughout my life. She married Elder Ron Montgomery, which is my first cousin through marriage, but he has been nothing but pleasant, approachable, and acceptable when I met him as a child, and I told him that he reminds me of T.D. Jakes. And every time I see him, I always say, get ready, get ready, get ready, because this man of God has become part of this family so much that sometimes we forget that he's an in-law. So with that being said, I would like to produce this audience with a great gift from the body of Christ. Reason I say produce, because some of you all on Facebook have not heard them. So get ready for the production of what God is bringing forth, many answers to his word. It is now in your hands.
Thank you, Missionary Sylvia. I guess I should say cousin Sylvia. We really appreciate that introduction. Thank you. And I've never felt like an in-law. I've always felt like a cousin. So that's how generous y'all's family is, our family is.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you very much for that introduction. I'd like to open in prayer. Almighty God, we come before you, O Lord. Just thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for this assemblage of saints in the pursuit of a journey and happiness along the way of marriage, O Lord.
Yes.
And we just pray that the thing that you have put on our hearts to share will be understood, consumed, and practiced, O Lord.
Yes,
and as we just ask and we give thanks in Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Tony, what you got to say?
You know what? Renee, well, I always call her Renee. And Ron, we are going to talk about listening tonight. It's a communication skill. We're going to talk about listening. And we're going to talk about listening beyond hearing, but to caring. So the Lord put this on my heart, and when he said listening, I was like, Lord, listening? What you trying to tell us? And so I will just tell you that this is a area that Ron and I both, we work on. We're working on, working. Y'all hear? It is in present state. We're going to work on. So we're going to talk about this. Lord says the same, and that we're going to challenge us tonight, all of us. And when I think about listening, I really realize that listening is a learned skill. It's not something that is natural. We just don't come naturally by it out. However, some people say that some people are just born listeners, born good listeners, you know, and what makes these people good listeners. And this is what I really believe. There's people out there that know how to close their mouth and open their heart. They are just prone to listening in a way that helps people open up. We're going to challenge y'all tonight to listen. In our conversation, we're gonna exercise some skills, and I'm going to start with what my daddy used to tell us. My daddy, George Seabury Jr., used to say, he would often say this to us, God gave you two ears and one mouth. Use them in that same proportion. Listen twice as much as you talk. It will solve a lot of your problems, Tony. My daddy was a wise man. He was so right. He was so right. But you know how the scripture put it. When I started looking for scripture, listening, and you know, I don't know about you, but I just went straight to my concordance and looked for listening. And there wasn't nothing under that subject. It wasn't like that. We had to do some digging to really see what the Lord says about listening, because it is embedded and just woven into the Word of God and the expectation of our behavior as saints. And so when we start to look, we realize that it was James put it like this in the first chapter in the 19th verse. He said, my brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Amplified Bible puts it this way. Understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear. Be careful, thoughtful listeners, slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words, and slow to anger. Patient, reflective, and forgiving. Now, I don't know about you, but that made me stop, sort of, and had to stop and think about Tony Montgomery and to say, Lord, how well am I really displaying these behaviors when I'm listening to my husband? And so it makes me really stop and think, what are some of those traits I really need? So, Ron, you asked me a question earlier. What was that question?
Well, Tony, I'd like you to consider how you listen to a friend.
Mm.
What are some of the behaviors you display?
Well, you know, when I listen to my friend, I really try to listen with patience. And I seldom, and I'm quiet, which I know is hard for y'all to believe. Okay, I'm quiet. I seldom interrupt when they're talking. And I ask questions along the way. However, I'm always listening closely to hear what they're saying, in the sense that I'm listening for their heart, Ron, and what they're thinking, what's on their mind. And a big factor is time. I take time to listen to them. And so many times, It is that time that's really important. And I have to confess, sometimes my husband says to me, Tony, you know, I need a little more of your time. I need a little more of your attention. Because Tony can be busy. And I have to stop and listen to what he's saying to me about me giving him my time and attention. And so I want to start off with a definition. Y'all know I'm an old school teacher, so I just sort of have to start in a place that helps me wrap my head around what we're talking about. And so I want you to think about the definition of listening using this lens tonight. Listening is suspending your own thoughts and feelings to enter into the experience of another person. Now we're talking about your spouse. So we're talking about your spouse. But you can use and apply these skills to other relationships. We're talking about our spouses tonight. And so here we really want to encourage you. I'm going to say that again. Listening is suspending our own thoughts and feelings to enter into the experience of another person. The marriage relationship is unique because I want y'all to think about this. We are naked before each other. We are naked before each other, and yet we spend a lot of precious moments hiding from the very person God has sent to us for that person to listen. for us to listen to. Similar to what happened in the garden. It's a constant struggle because we want to be heard. And so let's talk more about listening. So, Ron, help us understand listening a little more.
Well, listening requires that we suspend problem solving.
Mm.
A lot of times we're not really listening. We're developing an answer.
Uh-oh.
We're a response, a reply,
mm-hmm.
a defense.
Mm.
We have to be very, very careful about that because in order to do that, we suspend listening.
Ah, okay. Okay.
So we're wired to notice problems
mm-hmm.
and fix and avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
This means that instead of deeply listening to the other person, we're actually immediately solving. Listening strengthens relationships, and it demonstrates attentiveness, caring, and respect. Listening is more than just hearing, however.
Hmm.
To truly listen, you must give your undivided attention and put your own agenda aside. For many people, being able to speak without an interruption is a relief,
mm-hmm.
and it's encouraging.
Mm.
Instead, ask your partner if they're looking to problem solve or simply to vent or be heard. Now, here's an interesting thing about communication again.
Uh-huh.
We want to be very careful how we do this.
What do
because,
you
as you, I know you heard it said, it's not what you say.
Uh-huh.
It's how you say it.
Wow.
You can use the very same word, but you communicate a completely different thing. How many times have you walked into McDonald's and the person said to you, may I help you?
Mm-hmm.
And weigh that against the number of times you walked in there and the person said, may I help you? Exact same word.
Uh-huh.
But I know y'all could see that snarl through the radio, couldn't you? That person had. And there's a difference there. So when you ask your partner if they're looking to problem solve or to simply vent and be heard or be heard, make sure that you're asking them in a way that you're inviting them to do any of those things.
Yeah, you're right. We know our spouse. We know our spouse is hot button. And so now we're practicing listening, which puts us in a position where we are going to encourage our spouse to say whatever they need to say, and that's going to be important. So how can we help others better understand listening, Ron? What do you think gets in the way of husbands and wives really their ability to listen? We're here. I'm just following. And we still working on our listening skills right now. Okay.
It's a journey.
Tracy from Pursue God's Ministry, Couples Ministry, sort of cleared it up for me. When she really said that, and she specifically talked about husbands, she said because in many cases it seemed like the wives expressed their husband's inability to listen. And she said that many husbands misunderstand the act of listening. So here's a set of skills that most husbands and wives, I'm not putting this out because we there too, don't really possess. And so a lot of times when someone is listening, especially the male, because you said it, a lot of times men listen to fix the problem because that's what they do. That's their nature. Their nature is to hear something and then to deal with it. We have many, and I'm going to say that as a mom, I sort of put myself in that position, and sometimes I'm listening to you, and I'm trying to tell you how to fix the problem before you even finish your statement. So this is an area that I know that you would like me to work on more. And so, but to really understand that listening is not a passive act. even though we're sitting and listening to someone share their deepest heart, it is, and it's more than just listening to somebody talk about, just talk. It seems that we might not value our spouse's need to be heard because we just really struggle with this idea of just sitting and listening. Now, I know that you and we have looked at Dr. Les and Leslie Perry, some of what they shared about this idea of listening.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So what were some of the things that they said about listening that we can benefit from?
Okay, I do want to share some of the things that they said. In fact, let's share 5 points of listening skills. Now, for those of you who take notes, I'm going to go on and give you the outline right now. We're going to talk about listen, five points of listening.
Uh-huh.
That these are skills that you can work on. Okay? Listen with empathy. That's number one.
Okay.
Two is listen for emotion. Number three is listen without bias. Listen lovingly.
That's number four. Okay.
That's number four. And number five, listen generously.
So, way to put that, listen generously. Okay.
It's a little bit different, but it's interesting. We'll get into that.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with listen with empathy. Just to clear the air and make sure that we're all on the same page.
Uh-huh.
Empathy is the ability to understand and share the feelings of another.
Go back to that definition. Okay, love it.
Real listening is about validating and appreciating what your spouse is saying and trying to put yourself in their shoes.
Okay.
When you practice empathy, you're putting yourself in your spouse's shoes and seeing things through their eyes.
Hmm.
Whether you're trying to resolve a conflict or just simply listen to your spouse talk about their day, it's beneficial to both of you to listen with empathy when your spouse speaks to you.
Well, okay.
For you, it gives a window into their world and their perspective. For your spouse, knowing that you're listening from an empathic vantage point helps them feel secure. Maybe your spouse needs to vent about work, and normally you tune out when they start talking about their tough day or their challenging project.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of switching your mind off while they talk, try to see the events of the day through their eyes and in the context of your life. Have you been dealing with the problems at home, like financial issues, trouble with kids, or taking care of ailing parents? Contextualizing your whole life along with what's happening at your spouse's job will help you understand the level of pile-on they're dealing with. And I just want to say this about listening to them talk about their day. One of the skills you can practice, and this will help you listen attentively, is to be ready to tell them what they said.
Oh, okay.
In other words, share with them what you heard them say.
Yeah, so that really demonstrates that you are listening.
Listening.
Yeah.
And it demonstrates how well you're listening. They may correct you on something. Or they may hear something that they didn't know they were feeling.
That's true. It's
a revealing.
Be reflective of what they're saying.
Be reflective in your discussions with them.
Yeah. That really takes some practice because it's like you're saying, within the context of all that's going on, you got to sort of stop and purposely and intentionally take some time to know and hear what they're saying. You know, it's interesting the way the scripture sort of refers to this idea of husbands and wives living together.
Mm-hmm. In First Peter, the third chapter, mm-hmm. he gives a list of the benefits and the pursuits of listening. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husband, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without word by the behavior of their wives. Mm-hmm. When they see the purity and the reverence of your lives, your beauty should not be from outward adornments, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord.
Hmm.
You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not
Amen.
Give way to fear.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that might be a bit undaunting.
Uh-huh.
For you ladies, you have to call the husband Lord. This is Old Testament, so
yeah,
you can think of another pet name for him.
I will. No.
But husbands, don't remember. I hate saying don't forget.
Uh-huh.
That's something that you can't do.
That's it, yeah, that's right.
You're telling yourself to forget.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say remember,
uh-huh.
husband. In the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as a weaker partner and as heirs with you to the gracious gifts of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. And again, we get back to this thing about marriage being a journey.
Yeah.
It's not a destination, and you want to enjoy the journey. And if you employ these tools, you will be enjoying them.
I like that first one. That first one, that we listen with empathy, and this gives us a way to be with one another. The scripture is constantly encouraging us to be careful and to be mindful of one another, and it's giving us, you know, ways that, you know, it refers here to hearing, because if we're not talking, hopefully we are hearing, listening, and that's important. And then it tells the husband, do the same thing. You know, be in the same way, be considerate of the wife that you're dealing with,
mm-hmm.
because then this is your way of getting your prayers answered, and that's a biggie. So it's just like, you know, you just can't treat your wife anyway. Are you
laughing? Yeah. Are you talking to me?
No, I'm not talking. You know, you
praise God.
Most of the time. No.
Okay. So empathy was the first point.
Empathy.
I'm sorry that we're going.
Yeah.
What's the next one, Tony? What's second? What's two?
Listen for emotion. When your spouse needs to talk about something, especially something that's hard, it is easy to get wrapped up and carried away with your own emotions on the topic. You know, it's just like you don't want to have to deal with that. And you've already made up your mind. In this case, you might respond in totally inappropriate way to your spouse and attempt to alleviate the difficult emotions that come up for you. So, you know, now you're in a struggle, you're in an emotional struggle, and you're not listening to your spouse because you are already in this emotional upheaval of your own. Instead, we really encourage you now, you're going to take a minute and listen for what your spouse might be feeling. It could be the same subject, but now you're listening to what your spouse is feeling. This type of intentional listening goes hand in hand with empathy. Not only are you in that wearing this person's or walking in this person's shoes, that means for some of your husbands, them high heels are hurting your toes. No. I want you to be just conscious that here you are listening for emotions. A lot of times the crying causes husbands to, you know, shut down. Just stop crying. Whatever you say, I'm fine. But letting them have the cry, letting them be in that emotional state is all right, because it's letting that person feel what they need to feel at that moment. Once you've identified what your spouse is feeling, it could be anger, it could be sadness, frustration, anxiety. You've got lots of that going on with the COVID right now. Excitement, you know, especially if they're telling you something about what happened at work that day, or they had some conflict with their boss, you know. Now this gives you as an opportunity as a spouse for you to adjust your responses based on their emotional state. So this gives you a time to be peaceful while they're actually expressing that emotion, instead of you checking them or telling them, no, you know, why are you feeling that way? I can fix that for you. It is your time to listen. It gives you an extra chance to check yourself before you say or do something that might aberrate. I've been saying this word all day wrong, and I continue to say it.
Exacerbate.
I got a syllable in there that I'm not saying. The emotional state that they're in. Okay, so let me go back. So it gives you an opportunity to really check where they are. When our emotion goes into a tailspin, it can be difficult for us to communicate healthy. So this is when we are there to support our spouse in that emotional moment. I wrote down that this is critical because this is where a lot of spouses go seek emotional support outside of the marriage because they're feeling unfulfilled, and this is a way, so I want you to be careful that you're not seeking somebody else's to fulfill this emotional state, and so you don't get caught off. And Satan doesn't care how he calls you off. But in 1 Peter 3:8, coming from that scripture partially around was reading from, it says, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, and be compassionate and humble. So sometimes when we're dealing with emotion, we're going to have to humble ourselves and be still and pray for ourselves that we don't get into the emotional state so we can really support our spouse. Ron, does that make sense? Is that pretty clear?
It's pretty clear to me.
Okay. So when you think about that, what other listen should we be still listening for?
Our next listen is a listen without bias. So we have to remove the bias from our listening. Bias is defined as a prejudice in favor of or against one thing, person, or group compared with another, usually in a way considered to be unfair.
Hmm.
So the word unfair
goes
along with bias, unfair bias.
Got you. Okay.
As a group of people, particularly African Americans, we're used to that. Oh, I'm sorry. Social discussion. So we want to listen without bias. You both got your opinion.
Okay.
And it's hard to let those opinions go in favor of simply listening to one another. Listening without bias is helpful when you have opposite stances on certain issues.
Okay.
Or when you're locked in a stalemate during a fight. Set your opinions aside for long enough to hear what your spouse is saying. Then practice your empathy skills.
Ooh,
be able to express yourself,
yes,
to express other people's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Remember those empathy skills and try to understand why. This doesn't mean you have to change your opinion to match your spouse's. What it does mean is that your spouse deserves to be heard, and you can truly hear if you're filtering, I should say you can truly hear, if you're filtering everything they say through your own bias.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Now, you had referred to James earlier. And I consider James to be the Proverbs of the New Testament.
I love it.
We're going to go to the Old Testament Proverbs, in the 18th chapter and the 13th verse, and hear what the Proverbian
King Solomon
has to say about that.
Yes.
He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him.
Oh, my. Oh, my. So the scripture refers to us really listening carefully and not putting our own lens on this until we hear the whole thing.
Ensure that we hear it.
So that means that we're going to have to really listen, and then it goes back to that skill you said that we need to practice to sort of to say back to our spouse what they're saying. That helps us really show attention. It really gives us a way to let them know that we are listening and we're taking our filters and our biases off when we just give back what we're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Not what we're, even what we're feeling, but what we're hearing.
What we're hearing.
That's powerful, Ron. That's really powerful.
Okay, what's the fourth listening?
Listen lovingly. Listen lovingly. That's me. I like to listen lovingly. which is a sort of like a plaque, a springboard off of what you just said about without bias. When we're communicating with our spouse, it can be helpful to use loving gestures, you know, body language, to let them know that we care about what they are saying. It can be as simple as holding eye contact and nodding to affirm what they're telling you. Now, that's really important, that if I can get your eye contact, that means that I'm listening. If I'm nodding my head, that it's giving you an idea that I'm present and accounted for. You could also reach out and touch them or hold their hand. Turn your body towards theirs and even stop what you're doing and just sit with them if that's what they need right then. Now, these are behaviors that we practice more than just one time, more than when somebody died, more than that. It's something that we need to practice all the time so our spouse knows that we love them. While you may be able to go about your business, and I know this one has sort of stepped on my toes, and have a conversation at the same time, which sometimes can be okay, but I really said out here, there are going to be times when you just need, I need to just put everything down and focus my attention on you, Ramadan. But everybody, just put everything down and focus your attention on your spouse. So put the knitting away, all of the committee members that you might be on, all of the people that you have, all the schedule that you have to have. Turn off the TV, Ron Montgomery. I mean, turn off the TV. And put the phone down, Tony Montgomery, or your other devices. Forget the to-do list for a while. And give your spouse loving affirmation through eye contact and touch.
Amen.
Now, you know what research says, that there's something that happens during conversations that really register with people. And the first thing is that it's about 5% of what you say, your words, really register with them, Ron.
Mm-hmm.
But 20 to 30% of your tone and your volume registers with them.
Mm-hmm.
Check this out. But 60% of your nonverbals register with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important. Now, you think about nonverbals, your facial expression, your presence, how you're sitting up or you're scrouching down, you know, you're looking down at your phone while they're talking to you. All of those things are ways that you're communicating how well you're listening. When your spouse is talking to you, you've got to find a way to show them that you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I have to ask myself this question. What are some of the things that distract me from talking to you? What are some of the things that I do distract me when you're talking to me? I have to check that out. Those are the things I need to write down and practice. I have to pay attention to myself. I have to be more intentional, you know.
One thing I also wanted to say about that 60% of nonverbal action.
Uh-huh.
Let's think about our courtship routine that we did when we were courting each other.
Oh, come on now.
Our behavior was to hold hands, to put our arms around her shoulder, our hands around each other, to touch, to give them the impression that we liked them.
Uh-huh.
And they reciprocated by showing us they liked us.
Uh-huh.
These are skills that we need to continue to practice, because when we're trying to communicate or when we're communicating with our partner, we can really be put at ease or put them at ease if we continue with those behaviors.
I love that. That is such a good example, Ron, of being able to listen lovingly. Because I can remember us being on the phone for hours and hours, and I could say anything to you, and you were, like, encouraging, and you would say, tell me more about that, or it seems like you're really hurting. You were so good at being able to coach me during those moments, you know, even when I was, like, wild and crazy. You would constantly, you wouldn't join me, but sometimes you would. But anyway, but... It was those moments that really connected us and really helped me find out the really genuinely nice person that you were at the time, because that's not who I thought you were
at the time.
No, who you are now, baby. I'm sorry. Okay. So what is the last, you said that there were five. I know we've gotten through four. What is the last one? What is the last listening?
Now, this one is behavioral.
What?
How can we say? It's an action.
It's an action.
It's something you physically do.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. It's to listen generously.
Hmm.
Now, because we've got an L-Y on the end,
it's an adverb.
So it's modifying or describing a verb or action word.
Come on.
So it describes action. You have to do something.
Uh-huh.
Generously defined is in a way that shows a readiness to give more of something than is necessary or expected.
Ooh, say that again. That sounds good.
You want me to say it again?
Say it again.
In a way that shows a readiness to give more of something than is necessary or expected.
So you listen
generously.
Okay.
Your spouse needs the gift of your time and attention.
Mm.
It's hard to take time out of your busy life to generously give energy to listening when we have so much to do every day. But communicating openly is a key to a healthy marriage.
Wow.
When you listen generously, your spouse will feel secure and coming to you and with their concerns, hopes, and fears. How would your spouse rate your listening skills on a scale from 1 to 5? Being 1 being the lowest and 5 being the highest. Notice I didn't ask you to rate your spouse. I want you to start with yourself to improve your marriage in this area. How would your spouse rate you as far as your listening skills are concerned?
That's another one. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And remember, you have to start with yourself, because you're the only person in the relationship they can adjust their behavior.
Oh, yeah. We begin. Charity begins at home and spreads abroad. You can't do something outside of yourself until you start here. So, Ron, that means that we're going to have to create a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the better listener in our relationship? So it goes back to you looking at your spouse and yourself and sort of writing that down. And then you're going to write down, what are some things that I can do to strengthen my listening skills? What can I do to strengthen my listening skills? And this might be a conversation you have with your spouse to say, you know, I really want to work in this area. Could you help me be a better listener to you, darling? And then how do you think this particular scripture applies to our listening skills? In Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Oh, so we start off, we end like we started. Listening is suspending our own thoughts and feelings to enter into the experience of another person, our spouse. And so our desire is to be stronger, to strengthen marriages, and to help each other learn to be ready to listen better. To listen better. So what do you say about that, Ron, as we end up?
Amen. I recall a program that I used to watch on a regular basis. Tony's already exposing it in a television watcher, so I might as well fess up to it. But, you know, I don't know if any of y'all remember the program, Frasier, and he was a radio psychologist. And his catchphrase on the program was, you know, people would call in and ask him advice about things, tell them about their lives and whatnot. But his catchphrase is, this is Frasier, and I'm listening. So that could be a very good catchphrase for spouses to say to each other.
Yeah, and it's like you said earlier when we were talking that the husband is to be like Christ to the wife. And I just think about Christ, who's listening all the time for us,
mm-hmm.
always listening to us to provide for us what we need. And so that's our desire, to strengthen marriages so they can give God, be reflective of what God is doing in heaven.
Okay, so Tony, I'm listening. Let me turn back over to Minister.
Okay, it's in your hands.
Oh, thank you. I truly enjoyed the program tonight. It was definitely much needed. If not no one else, it was for me, because I need to learn how to listen and not try to listen on a time limit. I've learned tonight listening is an action, and I need to slow my action down and listen. I thank you all for tonight. Some relationships going to get a whole lot of help with this one. Yes, because we are preoccupied with our phones. That's so true. I went to work the other day, and I left my phone at home. And even though I knew I left it at home, I kept reaching for it. And I said, it is true. We are so confound with these phones. We preoccupied with them. And I thank you for that. All I can say, I'm guilty.
Me too.
I can't do nothing but laugh and hit myself. I got to spank myself because I don't listen. I just want to let you all know the lines are open. Please encourage the man and woman of God on tonight, because they broke it down to us, 5 categories. They broke it down. So please speak up right now on Blog Talk.
Good evening, Minister Sheila, Minister Ron, and Minister Tony. As usual, you guys got it going on. You let us know that communication in marriage is a skill, and you can learn it, but it must be an active effort for both parts. And you brought out the fact that each partner, tactful listening. You have to be tactful in your communication with your partner, and the empathy that Minister Ron brought in leads to the well-being of the partner. Active listening was a thing that years ago they would train you in business, but actually these are transferable, because listening with empathy and being able to tell your partner what was said and don't listen with bias, because a lot of relationships now are at each other because the woman may be emotional when she speaks, but the man is not listening because he's reacting to that emotion, and he's kind of feeling less than he should be about himself. But that's not what the crying is about. So you have to actually have that empathy. You have to listen. You have to have your ears open, remove the bias. These are all intentional listening. I believe Minister Tony brought up all of these are good points. And it's unfortunate I don't have a man to practice these things on. But when I get one,
you can practice on your children.
And the loving gestures, loving affirmation. This was great. This is awesome. And you two are the two to bring it forward to us, because you have a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed listening to you two. Great job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carmen.
Okay, so I would like to ask, now who was that speaking and where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Carmita calling from Las Vegas.
Thank you so much, Carmita. Is there anyone else that would like to tune in and tell us who you are and where you're calling from?
I'm Verda Mabry, and I'm calling from Dallas, Texas.
Hey, Verda.
Thank you.
Hey, Verda.
My name is George Montgomery, and I'm calling from San Diego, California.
Thank you.
My name is George Randall Seabury IV, and I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois.
Wow.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're using full names, my name is Erica Epitonia Alexander Seabury, and I'm calling from Las Vegas, the living room in which I live with Carmen.
Thank you.
Carmita.
Good evening, family. This is Minister Margo. I'm calling from Evanston, Illinois. And I just wanted to make a point. What you thought was really has me thinking, which is the whole concept of listening with empathy, and how many times when we're talking with friends and we don't have a problem listening with empathy then. In comparison to, I guess you say, I'm telling on myself, when you're listening to your spouse or someone in which you're dealing with a conflict, or, you know, you're having this interaction where maybe you're just waiting to get your point across, not really listening. But that's really not the posture that we take when we're listening to a friend who calls and who just needs to be listened to or heard. So I thank you for the point. I thank you for the perspective. And the fact that it is action, like love is an action word, listening also is an action. Thank you so much, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
you.
Amen. Is there anyone else who would like to speak and tell us where they're from?
Yes, this is Joel and Margaret Gullett in Fate, Texas.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
I'm not laughing at anyone. I'm laughing because I have to go apologize after the service tonight. for not being a good listener. But I want you to listen to me, but I don't want to listen. That's another program.
Hey, man, this is Cecilia. I'm calling from Washington, D.C., by way of Wisconsin, particularly tonight. But I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I was actually talking to Minister Sylvia about the fact that her and I, as ministers in the gospel, we have to learn how to be better listeners and ask God to circumcise our ears, because we're the ones doing the teaching. So the word of God always says, he that has an ear, let him hear. But if you're not listening, you can't hear. So thank you so very much.
Amen.
Amen. I want to ask a question. This is Carmita for Ron and Tony. I don't, the couples within the marriage, partners, should they also be friends? Should that be part of that relationship, friendship?
Oh, well, yes. I think that is part of what happens in the relationship, is that you form that friendship during courtship, possibly.
Mm.
And then that gives way to you having these communicative interactions. What happens, though, in marriage is that all these other things start to get in the way, and you forget about this person that you like. Or that person changes in the midst of all that's going on, and you just want to punch them in the eye. No, I'm sorry. Did I say that?
You said it right. Go, I'm out.
And so what happens is that it goes back to what Cecilia was saying and Renee is saying, that it's something we have to practice, because it's not natural. After a while, it's like all these other things get in the way of you really seeing the gift God has given you in your spouse.
Yeah.
And so that friendship, it gets, what do you call it, worn.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That came to me after I heard Minister Margot, when she was saying that you could talk easily with your friends and not your spouse. But my thinking was, you and your spouse should also.
One of the problems with that is it's easier with your friends because of proximity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you could be there in the room with your friends and communicating and empathizing and doing all the things that are involved in the good listening skills. But, you know, at the end of the moments, you're not going to be there with them.
Yeah, you're not going to be
anything. Oh, yes.
With your spouse, though, you have to be extremely intentional and understanding of the fact that y'all going to be there together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's something that you're going to have to work on. I try to relieve the tension of the relationship with humor.
With humor, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And tell a joke or two, or, you know, recite a funny instance, or recall when we did have some. And that's the great thing about the courtship and the longevity of the relationship. Is that you've got history among you, and you just want to recite those things, and it's one of those kind of situations where we can laugh at it now, but it wasn't funny then.
Yeah. Thank you.
You really want to get to that point in your relationship where you know, all we have to do is live through this and respect each other and love each other. It may not be funny, but years from now, maybe days from now, we'll be laughing at this bad boy. The sermon that Pastor Bobby preached on Sunday, Pastor Bobby Gibson preached on Sunday, was about valleys, surviving valleys. And one thing about these situations is that we know they are not permanent. These are temporary. And it's important for us to live through even though we pick up scrapes and scars. We want to make sure that we have injury and not damage.
Right.
Because we can recover from injury. We just want to make sure we do no damage to each other during these situations.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I just want you all to know.
Thank you for that question. Okay, sorry.
I want to share with you all, before the program had started on Blog Talk, I was talking on Facebook, and I was talking about what God was doing. I said, the word of God said, those that have ears, let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Not knowing we're going to talk about listening on tonight. So I just want you all to know this was and is a program that God sent.
Yes.
This is you know, we don't talk to one another before the program starts, so we don't know what people are going to talk about that's assigned to their ministry. But we know if we're praying, God will give us what to say.
Yes.
So I thank God for Smile 3E, Blog Talk, Shopping Iron. I thank God for every minister that's assigned and appointed and anointed on this program, because the man and woman of God said it on the night, we minister to ourselves first. I also said that when we minister, we don't, you all, we minister to ourselves first.
Amen.
And I thank God for the ministers that's on this line that reveals the fact is that I'm too is asking God to help me in that situation. So you don't think we got it across every T. I too am asking God for help, deliverance, and focus in that area. So I'm going to ask anyone that haven't had a chance to speak if they would like to say something before I give the final remarks.
This is Sister Carmen. I'm calling from Park Forest, and I did get in a little late, but I was truly, truly blessed, as always. I thank God for what was said, and listening is so important. I'm learning to allow people to speak and talk as long as they want to talk, but in the midst of me listening, I'm also praying. I'm covering those words with the blood of Jesus. I'm asking God to just, you know, allow them to have an open heart when God gets ready to use me. And then that opportunity, when you listen and let people speak their speech, you have that opportunity when you come up to say, you know, I've listened to you. I didn't interrupt you. Now it's my time to speak. So that I found to be a good way of letting God use you to minister to them, because you've already let them speak what was on their mind, on their heart, and how they felt. But when the anointing comes through and you speak under anointing, God just, he works it out. He just performs that thing like never, ever before. So I am praying, Lord, help me to allow people to speak their peace, and then by the covering of the blood of Jesus, you open up their heart to receive the truth, because I want to speak in truth. I want to speak in healing. I want to speak in peace and love and joy. But if we're backering back and forth and I'm trying to overtalk you, you trying to overtalk me, the devil is having his way. But when I find that I'm allowing people to just talk, and then they have to respect me because I've respected them when they voice their opinion. But everybody know it's only one Lord, one Master, one King, one Savior, and one truth. It is known in between. So I thank God for this ministry. God is still working out whatever He's working out, because His will be done in my marriage. I'm still praying for my husband, standing in the gap for first and foremost his soul salvation, that he be redeemed back unto God, his first love.
Yeah.
So I just thank God for the reassurance and to hear the happiness and the joy and the love of marriage going forth over the ministry, because we know the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But, our God.
Yeah. Yeah.
He comes that we might all have life and have it more abundantly. And marriage is honorable and sacred in the sight of God, and the bed shall not be defiled. So I thank God for marriage. I love the institution of marriage, just as God loves it.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen.
Is there anyone else?
I'm not married. Tony.
Okay,
Verda.
You got something to say, right? You're not married.
I did say it.
Oh.
But the communication the communication is something that, you know, you have to practice, you know? You have to practice communicating and not getting to a point where you can't communicate, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And communicating effectively is like, you know, listening, analyzing what you hear before you speak, and allowing the other person to speak. And you can ask questions if you don't understand, rather than just start talking. Did you say so and so and so and so? Did I hear you say? Is this what you said? Yeah, that's how I look at it. But some people don't give you a chance to talk. They their mouth go, just you know what I'm saying. And a lot of times you don't know what they're talking about, because they're talking too much. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Verda.
Amen. Is there anyone else, married or unmarried, want to speak? Okay. Well, we want to thank you all for tuning in tonight, those that tuned in on Facebook and those that tuned in through Blog Talk. Thank you for taking the time out to share your thoughts and your speeches and your remarks with us. I thank you for listening. I thank God that He brought forth the word on tonight about listening and the 5 points that the man and woman of God brought. I want you all to come back on any night. We're here on Sundays, Mondays, and Fridays. This Friday coming up will be fourth Friday of the month, and Prophet Antoine Thomas will be speaking at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. This Sunday will be the fifth Sunday of the month, and will be Apostle Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Sheila Kaiser, Minister Brandon Kaiser at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. And this Monday will be the fifth Monday. It will be our youth service, which Minister Lawrence Seabury will be speaking at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please tune in at any of these dates and just hear what the Lord is saying to us, the body of Christ. And don't forget, our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So at this time, I'm giving it back to Missionary Tony Montgomery and Elder Ron Montgomery, that they would pray us out on tonight and just let God have his way with our ears, as Apostle Elex said, Lord, circumcise our ears.
The Lord, we thank you, and we praise you, and we lift you up for all that you are doing in our lives, because you are teaching us, Lord God, to open ourselves up that we might hear what the Spirit is saying, that it might grow us in grace, that it will give us, Lord God, an opportunity to be reflective of who you are. And so, God, we ask that you touch every person that tuned in and those that desired and could not make it, that you would, Lord, enrich their lives, that they might hear from God and do those things that bring you glory. We thank you for what you're going to do. Bless this ministry, those that are leading it. Lord God, you meet them at their point of need, that they, Lord God, might be blessed bountifully in not only spiritually but financially and as well. We ask, God, that you bless this ministry, that it might continue to bless the body of Christ. We thank you for our time together, and we just bless your name. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Amen.
God. Amen.